In the early 1900s, Germany sought to expand its colonial empire in Africa. Since 1884, German colonists had ventured from the coastal regions of Dar es Salaam and Bagamoyo into the interior and signed so-called protection treaties with local rulers. With the Germans having a professional army, modern weapons, and a disregard for African life, local leaders had two bad choices: submit and give up lands and political power, or face war. German forces swept into north-central Tanganyika. On a map, it was officially part of the German Empire. On the ground, it had barely seen any Europeans. But here, they would run into an opponent like no other. Her name was Liti Kidanka. She was a spiritual leader from the Nyaturu tribe in Singida, north-central Tanganyika, nowadays Tanzania. She was born sometime in the 1860s to a family of traditional healers.
Back then, they were the religious leaders in their societies, or spiritual leaders in their societies. And also she was a wife, a daughter, a mom, living her usual life.
That's historian Halima Adam. She has spent a considerable time researching Liti Kidanka and the impact of Tanzanian women in the resistance to Germany's colonial rule.
She was a respected member of the community because of her abilities. So from the narratives from her home place, she had different abilities. Some of them included ability to see the future, so she could predict what would happen next, and they say that it was always correct. So that fact made people place trust on her. So if she said that things are going to be this and this way, people believed because they had a track record of her saying, predicting what the future would be like and it coming out correct.
Liti Kidanka first came across German colonialists in 1901.
They started making their demands, and she was there, and she was like, why? No, who are these people? Why are they here? I don't want them here. She was like asking people, like, why are you following them? Why are you doing ABCD that they're saying we should do? So it started like that, and then it escalated to there is a lady who is making people resist. So that's how it started. She didn't go to them and like start a fight with them. She was rather at first she was doing her work in the background, like in silence, and then the Germans got the news that there is this lady who's behind all of this resistance.
As a spiritual leader, Liti Kidanka offered her people protection in a very unusual way. There are few written references to Liti Kidanka, so historians have had to rely on oral traditions passed down through generations. Halima Adam explains how, according to the stories, Liti Kidanka would summon bees to counter the Germans' advanced weapons, hence her name, Queen of the Bees.
She didn't move to run away or to give up. She went and looked for a location where she would be able to have the upper hand of the war. And she found the location, and that could allow her soldiers. By the time the fight between her and the Germans became apparent, she already had the men of her tribe following her, as in willing to fight on her cause, because she was supposedly protecting them by using the bees. So they wanted to fight. The people wanted to fight back, but they were scared. So Liti offering them bees was like, so we can fight back. The Germans won't be able to kill us with the guns because Liti has bees. So the bees were like a way to ensure that the Germans don't fire. So her focus was making sure that the German side don't get the chance to fire so that her soldiers would attack them fast.
Ultimately, Liti Kidanka's people had to submit to the well-armed German force. While her use of bees as a form of protection may sound strange today, according to historian Philemon Mtoy, a supernatural power was a common theme at the time, especially for spiritual leaders.
Indeed, the relationship between traditional rulers and spiritual leaders in Africa often appears intertwined and complex. In many African societies, particularly in Tanzania, these roles are not strictly separated and can overlap significantly. So there are so many aspects we can actually make this assumption. The first one is multiple roles, or what we call it, dual roles. Many traditional rulers also serve as spiritual leaders. These dual roles can enhance their authority and legitimacy, as they are seen as a mediator between spiritual and the physical worlds. For example, in Tanzania, when you're talking about Liti Kidanka, he was actually both a political leader, but also as a spiritual figure. So you find that he has a duty to link between the spiritual world and the real world. And he was the only one to have to interpret the message.
Not just that.
Traditional rulers often drive their legitimacy from spiritual authorities. Their right to rule is frequently seen as divine ordained, with the spiritual leaders performing rituals to endorse their leadership. So the interviewing of political and spiritual authority helps maintain social cohesion and stabilities. So spiritual leaders often serve as an advisory to traditional rulers in the area where there are two leaders. So you find there's a traditional leaders, but also there's a spiritual leader. So the spiritual leader is actually a very important part of the government, because he's actually advising the traditional rulers on spiritual matters, ritual matters, decisions that require divine insight.
In local folklore and songs, Liti Kidanka's power over the bees was ruined by an informant. Some say her best friend, others say her relative, in an act of betrayal.
So one of the famous songs is about Liti and that best friend, as in you were together, you started this together, and then you ruined it. Mm-hmm. It's one of the very famous songs. It just sings that you were together, you were both very smart, you started this together, then you ruined it.
Liti Kidanka was captured by German authorities and eventually executed to crush the resistance of the Inyaturu. She is believed to have been killed in October 1904, along with her husband. Her body was decapitated, with her skull allegedly taken to Germany. Liti Kidanka's death marked not just the loss of a political leader and a resistance fighter, but also a religious leader who played a crucial role in her community's spiritual life. Halima Adam says this is evidenced in the Inyaturu folk songs about Liti Kidanka.
They are very common. It's one of the ways that the tribe remembers big things, not just about Liti, about anything big that happened in the past. So you would hear them in weddings, in celebrations, basically.
For decades, female participation in colonial resistance in Tanzania was not really discussed, written about, or even memorialized. The exception to this was oral tradition, where the names of female characters were sung or chanted. Even a search on YouTube reveals Swahili songs dedicated to Liti Kidanka. But why then, if her role is still remembered in folk songs, for what reason are there so few written records about her?
The people who wrote first, they were men, and they wrote about the people who disturbed them. And I guess that's my perspective. It didn't make sense for a man, a sergeant or a commander, to write about the headaches he was given by a woman. And even when you read history of resistance, you can see the response when the leader was a man and when the leader was a woman, mostly was different. In their mindset, she wasn't as much of a threat as a man. We don't consider the contributions of women to be that much important if it doesn't involve being a wife and having children. So I think just people didn't see the importance at first until feminists started looking into these things from different perspectives.
This special feature was brought to you by DW with support from the German Federal Foreign Office. I'm Kai Nebe.